Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
High school football here on The Fan tonight. Manchester at Thomas Dale. Thomas Dale hosting Manchester. Gary Criswell on the call alongside Hokie Steve. You're home for the Hokies and the Hoos. Hoos have the week off. Who's talking about we are, because they're a top 25 team, but they've got the week off to prepare for Virginia Tech in the Commonwealth Cup. The Hokies, they host top 25 Miami with 30-plus recruits in the building. All these guys that want to come to Virginia Tech or are thinking about coming to Virginia Tech will be at that game. It will be James Franklin's first game in attendance. That place is going to be rocking, at least for the first half. Let's see if the Hokies can keep it close against Miami, who still has an outside shot of looking in at the college football playoffs. In the NFL, we had a good Thursday night game. Maybe a great Thursday night game, to be honest. It kept me up. Right? That's what you want. I was up. I was tuned in till the very last play. But you know how we start the show every day. On Fridays, we roll, broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott's Edition. It is not your grandmother's bowling alley. Live music and entertainment on Fridays and Saturdays. The pizza's banging. The wings are good. Heated patio. That's awesome here in the winter months. Come on down and tell them AWOD sent you. But you know how we like to start the show, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world when we open up the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G. This one.
Sports app.
So you know what I love about Houston? The Texans' offense is struggling, and C.J. Stroud's been out for a few weeks, but they've won games because of their defense and their defensive-minded coach in D'Amico Ryan, and I thought that was the difference in this game. But you got to give credit to Davis Mills. He was able to spread the ball around to about seven different receivers, including Christian Kirk. 5 catches, 54 yards, and this touchdown. Let's take a listen to the call.
Play fake, pass, wide open, touchdown. Christian Kirk pulls it in.
The Bills were down at the half, 20-16 in this one. Look, it felt like their offense was doing nothing. In fact, the only reason they were in that game was special teams. Here is Ray Davis, 97-yard kickoff return to the house. Buffalo takes the lead.
Bills get the ball at the end of the half, and they get the ball to start the third quarter. Ray Davis to run the kickback. Spinning, still on his feet. Out past the 40. He's out in front. Nobody's going to chase him down all the way for a touchdown.
The Texans would score just before the half and get a field goal, and so they would have a 7-point lead entering the fourth quarter. Bills get a field goal. They're on their final drive, and they're facing a 4th-and-27 because Josh Allen took a bad sack, a long defeat there, a big loss on third down to set up a 4th-and-27. There's no way they can convert this. Let's take a listen to the call.
four-man rush again with a spy. And then you got a lateral, and it's going to be inside Texas territory with Chicago.
You just don't see this ever. But he comes all the way from over here. Here's the man who's going to catch the ball on a crosser. Look at the timing of this. All the Texans defenders are all the way back at the first down line.
So they convert the fourth and impossible. All right, that's going to lead to a Bills win. Well, they just kind of ran out of time, not just in the game clock, but in terms of Josh Allen in the pocket. Under duress, he throws it in the middle of the field. It's picked off, and that's your ball game. Let's take a listen to the call.
Back into the backfield. Flare him out. Allen throws off his back foot. Short, picked at the 9-yard line. Bullock.
Let's move over to college football on the sports app. So there are a ton of really good college football games this weekend, but there was a game that came down to the final play last night. The Raging Cajuns of Louisiana against Arkansas State. Let's take a listen. A goal line stand for the win.
Rayner trying to run it. Rayner over the goal line. No! Louisiana makes the stop.
Is that the one that was short of the goal line? Thomas, hold it.
Stopped at the 1-yard line. The Raging Cajuns win 34-30. So I mentioned a ton of games this weekend that will affect the seeding in the college football playoffs. We'll be breaking them down throughout the show today, but we wanted to take a listen to Get Up ESPN's preview of USC against Oregon. To me, that's an elimination game in the Big Ten.
Start with that Oregon-USC game. College game day will be there. Jordan, what will this game come down to?
It's going to come down to physicality, right? Can USC match Oregon's physicality in the run game? This team under Lincoln Riley has always been one that can win a track meet. Can they win a fist fight in a phone booth? And the problem is their physicality hasn't traveled well, right? They got 300 yards put on them on Notre Dame. They got 171 put on them against Illinois. That's USC's defense. And Oregon is so good in the run game. They're the second best run offense in the country. They got three running backs that are dynamic, and they have two wide receivers out, possibly, and that including number one, DeCorian Moore. So Oregon's going to want to run the football. Can USC match the physicality? Indiana did that on the road, held them to 81 yards. I went back and watched that game last night. The defensive line dominated the second half for Indiana. USC's got to do that.
Who do you expect to win?
I think Oregon. I think Oregon gets it done. I think it's a statement game for them. I don't think it's a good matchup at all for USC.
I just think that's the right call here. Oregon is the better program. And, you know, as Michael would say, their coach, he makes the most of his opportunity. This is the biggest opportunity on the season. Let's move over to the NHL. Talk some puck on the sports app. Last night was the Washington Capitals against the Montreal Canadiens. And it was their second game in a row. And they were coming off of a win. And Alex Ovechkin had a goal streak. We start in the first period here as Alex Ovechkin's goal streak continues on a power play.
Penalty kill for Montreal, 19th in the league. They have, however, allowed a power play goal in three straight games. And late tonight, right from the draw, they score! It's one back to Ovechkin. His shot from the high slot stays low on Sam Montembeau. Exactly 1 minute into the first period. It's 1-0, Washington!
Gallagher would tie it for the Canadiens, and then there was a ton of goals scored in the second period. A 1-1 ball game becomes a 5-3 game in favor of the Caps. Montreal's first to score in the third period. It's 5-4, but Alex Ovechkin scores again. Let's take a listen to the call.
So apparently inside of the officials, just about everybody in that. It comes out for Hutchin. He'll move back and skate very quickly across the blue line all the way to the near circle. Centering tried to tails all the way through. An errant pass that's going to turn into an odd man rush. Strome is coming. He's got Ovechkin with him. Strome on a cross. Ovechkin scores! Alex Ovechkin! Odd man rush takes the feed from Strome. He buries it from the near circle. Two goals on the night. That's 9:06. And it's 6-4, Washington!
The wow. Russian machine never breaks, and Alex Ovechkin would get an empty net goal, his 10th goal of the year, a hat trick on the game, and an 8-4 win for the Capitals. Here's Ovi completing the hat trick.
Slavkovsky has it at the red line. He's just waiting for Leonard to come off. He does. Here come the Habs and a shot here on Lindgren. And a save as Caulfield got it away. Ovechkin's going to turn. He fires. He got it. It's a hat trick. Oh, my. Alex Ovechkin finishes off a hat trick here in Montreal. How about that? He picked it up in between the dots. Right in front of Charlie Lindgren and slides at the distance and a few hats making their way onto the ice here at Bell Center.
So Ovi's got a goal streak. The Caps have a win streak. They return home. Home ice, Capital One Arena to face off against the Lightning on Saturday. Over to the NBA on the Sports app. The Philadelphia 76ers are now 9-6 on the season. A big part of that is the young guns. VJ Edgecum, the rookie, and Tyrese Maxey, who's just 25 years old out of Kentucky, but it feels like he's a veteran with his experience already in the NBA. That boy could score the basketball. 54 points, career high in a win over the Bucks, 123-114.
Maxey between the legs, behind the back. It's a deep shot. Oh, he's feeling it now.
The Spurs without Victor Wembanyama. Well, they get a good game from Harrison Barnes, from De'Aaron Fox, and they get 25 off the bench from Keldon Johnson to beat the Hawks 135-126. Magic win over the Clippers 129-101. That's a good win for the Magic, who are now 9-7 to start the season. They got that win without the injured Paolo Banchero. It was 23 for Jalen Suggs out of Gonzaga and 22 from Franz Wagner. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open throughout the show. We like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. You can give us a call, 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. Tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Wide Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, new rule, on Fridays we roll, broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott Edition. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. Pizza's banging, the wings are good, and you've got to take advantage of the heated patio during these winter months. Joining us right now, it's Michael Phillips for a segment we call Crosstalk on the Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on The Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on The Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
All right, we got Michael with us here. Michael, what is the top of your sports viewing list for this weekend?
Well, we got two locals tomorrow. We got Virginia Tech football at noon, and then you have VCU basketball in the evening. But I'll probably be channel surfing because you got some, you know, Georgia Tech Pitt. I think is going to be a fun game. We'll learn maybe who UVA will play in the ACC title game if they beat the Hokies, which I think is not a given. As you know, I think that'll be a competitive football game. And then you know I'm all in on Chiefs Colts, the last gasp of Patrick Mahomes here this season, last chance.
Absolutely. So, Jeremy, we have placed a bet on this game that will affect your breakfast. If
that's correct,
the Kansas City Chiefs only win by 3, you get breakfast provided by Michael Phillips. If the Chiefs lose, I have to provide breakfast. And if the Chiefs win by 2.5 or less, Michael will be providing the breakfast.
Oh, I think I'm on Michael's side here. I think the Colts might win this one.
Oh, Jeremy, would you like to double this bet and make it extra juicy? Because, you know, we could take a breakfast bet and make it a Taco Tuesday as well.
I can do that.
Ooh.
All right, explain to me why you are taking the Colts over the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. The AFC runs through Kansas City. Their backs are against the wall. This is absolutely their last stand. They're 4-1 at home this season. Their defense is criminally underrated. Why are you taking Indiana Jones?
The Chiefs can't run the ball. They just can't run the ball right now, and I think Jonathan Taylor is enough of a difference maker that they'll be able to pull this one out.
I love that the Colts are coming off the bye. I think that's an underrated factor in the NFL. Teams coming off the bye have success. They're coming off the bye. Chiefs got beat up last week at altitude in Denver. I think the Colts are advantageous here in a couple of different ways.
I like how my producer didn't listen to me, owed me money, owed me breakfast, left, and now a new producer comes in, doesn't listen to me, gonna owe me breakfast, gonna owe me money.
They'll never learn.
I love that you're doing this, Jeremy. I love it so much. Let's put some tacos on the line here. I got Chiefs -2.5. I'm so confident about this bet. I mean, Jeremy, do you want to host a whole segment next week if you win this? You can name your price. It's not happening.
All right. I'm willing to take that. I'll do whatever.
J Money Radio, let's go.
Michael, we also said that we were both interested in this Eagles-Cowboys game here. And, you know, from what you've seen with Philadelphia this season, how surprised would you be if the Cowboys won?
Well, the only surprise here is that the Eagles keep winning, because all indications are that nobody there likes each other. Everything keeps falling apart. The offense isn't rolling, and yet, oh, you look at the record. Oh, yeah, they're atop the standings. So the only surprise is how successful they've been so far. In the lead-up to every game this year, it seems the storyline has been, well, obviously the Eagles aren't going to win this one. And then they win that game. The Chiefs had those vibes last year where they kept pulling the rabbit out of the hat despite not being any good. And there's so much talent there. It's hard for me to pick against the Eagles. This is a smelly line. I think the Eagles should be way more than 3-point favorites. What I don't know is that my indication to go running into the burning building, or is that Vegas telling me, don't be an idiot, pick the Cowboys?
Yeah, I would pick the Eagles. I just think, like, Dallas gave Philly their best shot 1, and they were still losing at halftime 21-20, and then got blanked the entire second half and lost 24-20. Like, they came out swinging. They were on fire to start that game, and still were trailing at the break here. I just think Philly's defense is going to make the plays in this one, and Dallas's defense will give up too many explosive plays.
Yeah, it's a great point, because I don't think either team has fundamentally changed since that game. You can say Cowboys have had some time to adjust to not having Micah Parsons, but the adjustment is they don't have Micah Parsons, right? They have good players, but it seems to me, looking at this on paper, both teams are fundamentally the same teams that played in that game. I've got the same read on this that you did. The things that happened in that game probably weren't flukish. You know, the Eagles, it was close, and then they pulled away because they're the better team. I think on paper, you'd guess that's going to happen again.
Michael, over to the Washington Commanders, who are on the bye this week, but every day at 1 p.m. we talk about the Commanders on the Richmond Commander, and our question today will be, of the 22 starters offensively and defensively, how many deserve to be starters next season of the 22?
Ooh, I like that. Is there anybody you're going to bounce on the offensive line of the five of them? Or are you going to keep
the O-line? I'm keeping the O-line, but they've been very disappointing, right? And so there have to be questions. Like, should Brandon Coleman be back in? What do you do about Cosme? Like, the Cosme thing is so interesting, right? Because I think we both agree, in any other sport, he would have to work his way back in the lineup. In the NFL, they're like, nope, just throw him into the starting lineup. He had that game where he completely whiffed on a key third down. I do not like what I've seen from Cosme, and he's supposed to be our best offensive lineman.
But is that on him, or is that on the staff for throwing him back in too soon after a very major injury he sustained in January of this year? I think that's questions about, you know, them rushing him back potentially more than questions about his fitness. And, you know, it's possibly just not going to be himself this year. The question is whether he can regain that form next year or if this is something that's going to stick with him. I agree with you, though. He hasn't been his normal productive self this year, and I think, you know, it's probably not coming this year either. He's probably going to need a full off season if he can get back to where he was. Obviously, Jaden's staying at quarterback unless you're going to say he's out, so that's not a guy who's on the roster right now. I don't know how we're keeping score here. I would welcome Deebo Samuel back, but I think it feels unlikely that Deebo Samuel comes back. Your thoughts on that?
If Deami Brown got $9 million, Deebo Samuel's going to get at least $18 million. I don't think we're going to pay that. I would love for him to come back on a team-friendly deal. I don't see that happening. He's going to chase his bag. Running back's the very interesting one in my mind.
Yeah. You're giving Bill another year. He's got good raw skills. You'll stick with him and see if he can grow into your...
You told me they have to take advantage of Jaden on a rookie contract. We're running out of time here. You're going to go into next year with Bill as your starting running back?
I think there's talent there. I do. I've seen good things from him. Do you like C-Rod? Are you keeping him? Or are you tossing him back too?
I'm fine with getting rid of everyone. I don't think Eckler's going to come back and be himself. Like,
no,
you look around
no.
the league and running backs are just having success, and then you get rid of them. Like, that's just the way it goes. And so I think we might want to look at what Dallas did with Javonte Williams, right? Like, they just plucked him up from a team that was disappointed in his production that they drafted. Right? So, like, I think we absolutely need to improve at running back.
I'd love to bring in a running back. I don't want to use a draft pick on one because there's so many other needs up and down the board. I think tight end is an obvious replacement call here. I haven't seen enough from Ben Sinnott, and I think we're probably about at the end of the Zach Ertz run. So tight end's a big glaring need to me on the offensive board.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100% tight end, because I'm pretty much given up on Ben Sinnott by now. It's been almost two full seasons, and we haven't even seen a lick. We've seen Colson Yankoff get more production. But, like, back to the running back thing, like, this is an Adam Peters move. I'm with you. I don't want to draft a guy. I'm keeping Bill on the roster. All right, you want to keep Rodriguez or McNichols on the roster, that's fine. But like I said, Dallas went out and grabbed a free agent running back, and he's in the top five. There's going to be another guy that becomes available that's right now probably in the top 30 that will be an option. I mean, Houston's got Nick Chubb and Woody Marks, right? So, like, there's all of them are better than Bill. I hate to say it.
You went off the Bill bandwagon really quickly here. I have zero issues with improving at that position. That's obviously a position that directly impacts the quarterback. So certainly zero issues there with getting better at something that will help make your quarterback better going into next year. We mentioned Luke McCaffrey. I would be okay with what I saw towards the end there with bringing Luke McCaffrey back as your wide receiver three, which, you know, can be a starter, not a starter, you know, kind of gray area. I feel good with what we saw at the before his injury.
Yes, but I think you could also improve at that position.
You're going to need at least
in terms of actual wide receiver play.
Yeah, you're going to need at least a wide receiver too, because you'll have Terry, Gap, Luke, and you'll need a depth.
I feel a lot better with Luke as
OZ.
Luke as wide receiver four, Jalen Lane as wide receiver five, with a new 2 and 3.
Yeah, 5-5 is the correct number for Lane, who, you know, unfortunate timing on his injury that led to Sanders still being in for the punt, which led to, of course, one of the worst moments there of that Madrid game. I don't know if we have time to go through the defense, but I think Bobby Wagner's done. I think Daron Payne's probably out. I think Kinlaw stays. Sanders still, I think you got to roll with, but we acknowledge he's taken a step back this year.
Yeah, it's probably six guys on defense and probably four on offense. It's just, I don't know that you can get 10 impactful players in one offseason. That's going to be the big task for Adam Peters. That's Michael Phillips, MP on the mic. Can be heard from 10 to 12 noon. I'm AWOD here on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. You can call AWOD, 833-804-0910. My goal for the end of the show today is to convince Jay Money to ride with me on the Kansas City Chiefs. Stubb made this mistake too many times. He had to pay up breakfast sandwiches after breakfast sandwich because he just didn't listen to the host. I laid it all on the line for you guys. This is the Kansas City Chiefs' last stand. The Indianapolis Colts have a bloated record because they haven't really faced anyone. They just played a good defense in the Steelers, and Daniel Jones coughed it up 3, 4, 5 times. The Chiefs' defense is criminally underrated. They will get the win. Jay Money, I'll be checking in on you here throughout the show today. I expect by 3 p.m. you to change your mind here.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
But Thursday night football last night was a banger. We're going to recap that right now by going around the National Football League with all the biggest news and notes. So the question it has to start with, does Houston have a quarterback controversy? Davis Mills has come in as the starting quarterback and won three games in a row. And he has appeared in five games this season. They are 4-1 when he's the team's starting quarterback. Look, they don't have a quarterback controversy, but it is kind of interesting that it feels like they're playing better as a team for Davis Mills than for C.J. Stroud. I don't know why that is. I think it's just more of a commitment by the coaching staff to improving on the defensive end. But, you know, they were struggling earlier this season to get consistent stops and get to consistent pressure, and that has not been the same over the last couple of games here, especially the last 2 weeks. I think their defense really won this game with the 8 sacks on Josh Allen. What were some of your takeaways, Jeremy?
Yeah, that was one of the first ones I had. It wasn't really a serious thought, but it definitely was one that crossed my mind. Should Davis Mills be the starter? I think C.J. Stroud absolutely is better than him. My other takeaway, that defense is definitely the best in football. I had some questions of whether it was them or the Eagles or maybe the Packers or the Browns, but that is the best defense in football, and it really isn't that close. The Broncos maybe throw them in that conversation as well. But the Texans absolutely dominate a really good offense, shut down Josh Allen, and they've got a chance to make the playoffs. That was really my big takeaway. Started 0-3, and they've got a chance to make the playoffs now. You were just talking about how you don't believe in the Colts in that division. They play them twice down the stretch of the season. It's not inconceivable that they could find the way to the top of that division, or if not, they're pretty in charge in that wild card with a couple tiebreakers right now.
You're already sounding like a guy that's going to pick Kansas City. I love it. Yeah, I mean, you're right. They certainly are still alive in that division with their schedule. I just, like, offensively, they need more from their quarterback. Like, as much as I said, yeah, Davis Mills has won games, third down conversions were awful from Houston. Their offense could not get going because they really should have blown out the Bills with how good they were defensively. They held Josh Allen to 5 of 16. They forced 2 turnovers with 2 fourth down stops on Buffalo, including a couple of fumbles and the multiple interceptions that Josh Allen had, like the game-losing interception at the end of this game. I think here's the other thing for Buffalo, and look, we kind of said this coming into the game here. Like, they need to be able to run the football. But they were able to run the football last night. That's what's so interesting. Like, usually you look at the box, like, they moved the football. He threw for 250 yards. They ran it for 140. Why they only score 19 points? Because of how bad they were on third downs in this game. And to me, that was like, this is the way it worked for Buffalo. They were able to move the football with James Cook here and set up, like, second and fives. And then they'd get a sack, and all of a sudden it's third and long. Right? Or on a third and five, Josh Allen would get sacked. He took too many of them. And look, this has kind of been a problem throughout Josh Allen's career. It's also what makes him special, because a lot of these times he breaks a sack and then either runs or throws it deep, right? And he keeps plays alive. But he holds on to that football forever. Forever, it felt like. And the 8 sacks definitely cost his team. And Houston gets the win 23-19. I mean, did you think after that fourth down conversion that Buffalo was going to win that game? I did.
Yeah, that fourth down conversion pissed me off to no end. Look, my biggest vendetta in football is prevent defense. I hate it with a burning passion. When you look at that play, they were off the line of scrimmage 15 yards. 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. They just gave them that for free. They did not deserve to win the game after that. But I did think they were going to win. I thought Josh Allen was going to pull some magic out. If Matt Prater hadn't missed that first extra point, it would have gone to overtime. They were well within field goal range there.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And I've always said when you play prevent defense, you prevent your team from winning the game. I don't want to go too hard on Al Michaels, because I love Al Michaels, and I think his book is terrific. And if you are a young sports fan and you want to get into sports broadcasting or hear behind the scenes, his book is a 10 out of 10. That was the lamest call on a 4th and 27 I've ever heard. Can you pull it up for me, Jeremy? I just need your audience to realize how badly he has lost his fastball. I'm watching this game, and I am screaming at my TV, oh my God, oh my God. And it was the lamest call on a 4th and 27. You see a 4th and 27 get converted once a year. Once a year. And it feels like it's been 2 years since we saw Travis Kelce do it for the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's Al Michael on the call.
Four-man rush again with a spy. And then you got a lateral. And it's going to be inside Texas territory with
It's just so bad. It's almost like he didn't realize that it was fourth down. I feel bad. I feel bad for everybody who's watching on Amazon Prime. There's no juice in what was the most exciting play of the season.
It sounds like he was ready for that to be the end of the game. It sounded like he was like, oh, it's fourth and 27. I'm going to say, and the Texans stop him, and it's done. He wasn't ready for them to convert it there.
Right. It was, oh, and he laterals it. Oh, and he's shy of the first down, and the Texans win. No, he got the first down easily. It was terrific play design by the Bills and perfect execution by their wide receiver pair that pitched it to each other. Now, it ends up coming in a losing effort, but it was a terrific play. We did not hit, I don't think, one leg of our parlay, though. Last night, that was pretty bad.
I think we might have gotten one. I think we might have.
Josh Allen
one.
Didn't throw a touchdown pass, and we had two Bills touchdown props.
Yeah, no, that didn't go too well. We gotta get back in the lab for Monday.
Yeah, we do need to get back in the lab, and our bets are $10 to win a new car. That's what we're trying to do here on AWOD Radio. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. We will try to give you the updated quarterback news. There's a lot going on right now in the league. Like we said, we knew C.J. Stroud was going to be out for the Texans. Well, we just found out Jackson Dart is going to be out once again for the Giants. He's still in concussion protocol. He will miss this weekend's game against the Detroit Lions. Joe Burrow looks outstanding, is the report. Trending towards returning. How wild does this one? Practices for 2 days in a row, and Cincinnati at 3-7, grasping. Looks like Joe Burrow is going to get back to play maybe as early as this weekend. He took 100% of the team's starting reps on Thursday's practice, and according to the injury report, he was full. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It's a football Friday, which means we touch on all three levels of local football. We tackle it all here on AWOD Radio. High school football, we've got the call tonight. It will be Hokie Steve. Hokie Steve will be on the call alongside Coach Gary Criswell, Manchester at Thomas Dale. Your home for the Hoos and the Hokies and the most NFL coverage here in town. But it's at this time in the show, we're going to go around the world of college football and take a look at all the big games this weekend that will affect the college football playoff seedings on University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
College football, baby, and it heats up in November because every game matters, it feels like, with the expanded field for the 12-team college football playoffs. And every Tuesday night, they reveal the latest bracket and their updated college football top 25 playoff rankings. And so, of course, anytime there's a team in the top 25 playing, it's going to affect the rankings. Ohio State's hosting Rutgers. Expect a big win for Ohio State. Texas A&M hosting Samford. Expect a blowout win at College Station for Texas A&M. Mizzou at Oklahoma. Jeremy, this is one of these elimination games. I don't think either team can afford to lose. Missouri's already on the outside, way, way, way on the outside looking in, because I don't think a three-loss team should be in from any conference. But if there's a three-loss team that's going to get in, it would be from the SEC. And so I think Missouri wins this game. It's a huge resume booster for them. I don't think it puts them in, but it puts them one step closer. Oklahoma just got the big win over Alabama that has them in the college football playoffs, but they cannot afford to lose another game. So that's my thoughts on that one.
I don't think there's a way that Missouri gets in. They don't have their quarterback, and we've seen a committee take out an undefeated team for not having a quarterback. They've got a good run game. I think this is just a play spoiler for Oklahoma, but I think Oklahoma's defense is way too good for them to get caught slipping right now.
Yeah, I mean, they need a miracle, Missouri, because they just had three opportunities. Alabama, Vanderbilt, and Texas A&M, they lost all of them. I don't think this win would be enough, but it would make things more interesting because I think it would knock out Oklahoma and it would make Texas feel like they've got a much better shot. Continuing with the games being played this weekend, Miami at Virginia Tech. This is the last chance for Miami. There's no way that they're getting in with a loss in this game. Georgia hosting Charlotte. That's the tune-up game before they face against Georgia Tech the following weekend. Can't wait for that one. 3:30 on CBS is the big game in the Big Ten. USC at Oregon from Eugene. This is the opportunity here for Oregon to definitely put themselves into the field and possibly even then giving themselves a bye. This would be a big statement win for them. For USC, they need this win to put themselves into, I think, third place in the Big Ten, which should give them an opportunity to be into the college football playoffs. I think the interesting thing is if Oregon loses this game, how far do they fall? Jeremy, does Oregon fall out of the field with a loss?
I think so. I think this is an elimination game for everyone, especially if you're not in the top five or so. I think a loss at this point drops you past 10, and that, with the automatic bids, is going to be enough to push you out of the playoffs, at least first one out.
Because it does look like the SEC is four, maybe five, and it looks like the Big Ten is two. Maybe they'd get a third team in. Probably they get a third team in if it's Oregon, USC, probably. But I don't think there's any guarantee that the Big Ten get three or even four. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio, cruising through the games this weekend that will affect the college football playoffs. Notre Dame hosting Syracuse. Notre Dame can't drop another game. Vanderbilt hosting Kentucky. The Vanderbilt one is interesting. Jeremy, do they have enough to get in with another win against Kentucky, another win against Tennessee, and maybe a little bit of help?
They're going to definitely need some help. They're going to need one of those teams ahead of them to lose. I would put them right now as that first team out, maybe ahead of a BYU or a Utah, but they're definitely going to need help. They've got a shot. I like Diego Pavia. I like that team a lot, but the way that they lost to Alabama, the way that they lost to Texas, I think that's just a little bit too disqualifying as their resume stands right now.
Yeah, their win against Virginia Tech does nothing. Their win against South Carolina earlier does nothing now. They will have another opponent in the top 25 in Tennessee at the end of the season, but I think they might need they probably need a Texas loss to Texas A&M and an Oklahoma loss, and they would need to win out to give themselves any shot at getting in. Texas hosts Arkansas. And again, I think a three-loss team should be eliminated, but Texas still has Texas A&M on the schedule, and it just feels like the committee is putting a lot of weight in that game, which is kind of annoying because I don't even know if A&M would need to play their starters in that game, but it feels like Texas still has a shot. Tulane travels to Temple. Tulane, it feels like win and they're in. What do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm on that same page. They obviously have to win their conference. Their coach said that he feels their team sometimes plays like a bottom 25 team, and I think that's going to motivate them to get a big win against a Temple team that has caused trouble and played a lot of teams close so far this season.
Yeah, Retzlaff has been awesome for them at quarterback after being terrific last year for BYU. BYU has been just fine with Bear Bachmeyer, but he's moved over to Tulane and got them a top 25 in the country. Now we get to the 4 o'clock slate, and that's where there's a few very interesting games, like Utah out of the Big 12 hosting Kansas State. I think the way that the college football playoff rankings came out, Utah is definitely still alive.
Which is weird, because they've lost their big test. They lost the Holy War to BYU. They got absolutely...
They lost the one to Texas Tech.
Yeah, they got absolutely destroyed by Texas Tech. Those are their two big tests. They're not going to make the Big 12 title game. I don't really see a world where they get in, even if they do win out.
Yeah. But yet, with them at 12, it's like the committee saying, hey, if you win out and you get help, you will get in.
That's what it seems like, but I think a Vanderbilt is primed to jump them. I think a Miami is primed to jump them. I think there's plenty of teams that are just behind them that, if they got into that same grouping of teams, would jump ahead of Utah.
Yeah, which is interesting, because if you're going to get jumped, why are you ahead of them in the first place? Michigan at Maryland. This is another team that I think can win themselves in at Maryland, and then Ohio State. I just don't think there's any chance that a 10-2 Michigan team with a win against Ohio State, who's currently number one in the country, gets held out.
Yeah, especially if they do beat that Ohio State team. I do think there's a way. They don't have the strongest resume. They lost to USC. That's something that you have to keep in your mind. That Ohio State win is going to carry a lot. I don't think they have the team this year, but I didn't think they had the team last year either, and they were still able to get it done. Michigan feels like...
I just think
it's
going to be the brand, right? Like Notre Dame. If Michigan beats Ohio State, and again, they can't lose this weekend to Maryland, right? They have to have just two losses overall. I think that brand will be big enough that there will be a lot of questions about, hey, maybe we just take four SEC teams to then put in the fourth Big Ten team in Michigan because of their big win. Like, that is such a resume booster.
It is.
A win against the number one team in college football, but they have to take care of business this weekend. Houston is a team that feels like they're still in it. I find it very unlikely that they could get in. And then we get to the game of the week in the ACC, Pitt, Georgia Tech. Your thoughts on that one, Jeremy, and how it could help either team.
So the winner of this game is most likely going to go to the ACC title game, which, of course, is a win and get in for that playoff spot at this point. I feel like Pitt and Eli Holstein are going to be able to pull something out. Georgia Tech almost lost to Boston College. Their defense hasn't really stacked up. Pitt's been playing really good outside of that loss to Notre Dame. I think they've got some juice here. I think I'm taking Pitt in this one.
See, I was all in on Pitt until last weekend. Just talk about deflating. I picked them to beat Notre Dame. 37-15 was the final. I got Georgia Tech rolling all over them. I think Narduzzi lost his team in that game, even though, like, I just hated how he came out and said that game didn't matter. It absolutely mattered, dude. Your team just lost all of their momentum, and now you're hosting Georgia Tech for a shot at the ACC championship. And I think Georgia Tech is going to want this more, and I think Georgia Tech will get the win. I think Haynes King will be the difference maker in that one. And then we continue here, BYU-Cincinnati. BYU definitely can't afford to lose that one. And then Arizona State. Arizona State is like the weird team that has gotten hot as of late and given themselves an opportunity here. But I don't really see these three teams in the Big 12 with 5-2 getting ahead of BYU and Texas, who are both probably going to end up with one loss inside of the conference.
Yeah, the one thing with Arizona State is they're the team that beat Texas Tech. They're the one that put that loss on their resume. They had a couple weird games because their quarterback went down for a little while, their wide receiver's been out for a little while, but overall, this is an Arizona State squad that feels a little bit too far out to make anything, but if there was going to be a surprise school to come out of a Big 12 conference, it's going to be them.
Yeah, I like Utah also, but I think you're right. I would definitely put Arizona State over a team like Cincinnati or over Houston. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Jeremy, we didn't mention your boys. What's it going to take for JMU to get into the CFP?
They've got to blow out Washington State, and that's going to be tough because, as you heard Dave Riggert say yesterday, they've got a top 30 defense in all of the nation. They've got to win, and they've got to win big to prove to the committee that they have the resume and the strength of record, strength of schedule to beat a team in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, App State's always a good program. 58-10 was your final score. That was a statement win. I think the Dukes need two more statements and then a Sun Belt championship to get into the CFP. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 AM, 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.